Good evening, everyone. Hello and happy Wednesday evening. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Tonight with me is a fellow Floridian, although not native born. It's okay, we forgive him anyway. If you were reading my Facebook feed today, you see that I posted a lot of interesting little Florida facts for you, and I know my guest Don Bruns is going to be able to tell you how crazy it is living here in this state. Don is, if you don't know already, a very prolific author. His stories are set in the Caribbean and in South Florida, in and around South Florida, which is tons of fun for those of us who live here because we kind of know those locations. He's also a musician, a storyteller. He's an ad exec, kind of a foodie. So I'm really excited that Don is on the show. We've met each other at several conferences, and let's take it away. Hello, Don. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Thank you, Pam. I'm glad to be here. I should tell the audience, I started out today by saying, you know, I have a political statement, and you said, you make that, and the interview is done as soon as the theme song is done. So I'm not going to do my political statement, and I'm over that, okay?
We don't do politics and religion on this one.
No, and I don't either.
Except if it's a part of the story. And let's talk about stories because, you know, you've got a whole long list of books. First of all, I want to talk about the Caribbean series in which you have 5 books. When you were traveling around with music and doing your ad executive stuff, is that where you – kind of fell in love with the Caribbean, or had you been going down there very regularly? How did that come? Those stories come about?
No, at a certain age, I was assessing my life, and this is, I said, I want to go to Jamaica. I want to sit on the beach on my birthday, play my guitar, and just kind of reflect. And when I came home, I called my accountant, and I said, I spent some money down there. How do I write this off? And he said, write a book about your experience and you sell it. And so I did.
Really? And that's really how it got started.
Pretty much that's a true story. So I said, well, if I can take a Caribbean trip to Jamaica, sell the book, St. Martin's Press bought it, and then I could go to another island. And I could go to another island. And I could do this, you know, in perpetuity. So I continued to go to the Caribbean and write a story about each island, and it was kind of fun.
So you started off with the Caribbean series, and for those of you who
Jamaica
don't
Blue.
Right, we don't say Caribbean. It's the Caribbean, by the way, down here, just so that you all know. Jamaica Blue is the first one, and you introduce us to Mick Seaver, correct?
Right,
who is a rock journalist. Which I like that very much.
He's an entertainment guy. He writes for Rolling Stone. He writes for a number of whoever buys his material, and he's got 2 or 3 books out on rock and roll personalities, and he's kind of a biographer, and he gets into the underbelly, the seamy underbelly, I like to call it, of the music business, and it was funny because my publisher said, every time you write a book, something almost identical happens in the real world. The Michael Jackson story, the Phil Spector story, and things like that.
Right.
And so it was kind of an interesting series because there is a lot of dirt and a lot of things that go on in that industry.
I know Jamaica well. My brother's wife and family are from Jamaica, and they have a place in Ocho Rios, so I know you're familiar with it there. Have you gone back to Jamaica since you wrote this first one?
Oh, I had to go twice for the first one just to make sure I got the research right. Are you kidding me?
There you go. You silly me for asking such a silly question.
I hate the research. I hate it.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Shakedown, St. Bart's Breakdown, Bahama Burnout. But, you know, the thing is that what I've done with my character in that series, he only goes for 4 or 5 days. He doesn't know the island. And so it's nice because I don't have to know everything. I only have to know what he experiences during those 4 or 5 days. And that's what I experienced. So it's not like I have to have a huge background, you know, of the islands. And I just have to know enough get around for 5 days. So.
It's interesting to me that you're saying that, because I have authors who have said to me that they don't really go on vacation. They go and walk in their character's shoes. Is that kind of how you look at it?
It really is. And people laugh, and I make fun of the fact that, you know, that, hey, it's tough. Yeah, I got to go do this research. But it is exactly that, and you have to be cognizant of every single step you take, and you have to every drink you drink, every person you meet, every dialect you hear is going to or can be a part of your story. You cannot look at the world the same once you become a writer. And I believe that, seriously. If you're writing a book or two books a year, then everything you do and say and every experience you have becomes fodder for that book. And you have to look at it in a different way.
As a matter of fact, speaking of Jamaica Blue, there is a cocktail that you have included on your website called the Jamaica Blue. Would you care to share the ingredients with our listeners?
You know, I can't, because I don't remember. I don't remember. If I'd known you were going to ask me that, I would have looked it up.
Blue carousel, coconut rum, pineapple
rum,
juice.
Excuse me, I'm going to go make this thing right now, and then we can continue the interview, okay?
It does sound yummy, that's for sure.
I did it for the five Caribbean books. Excuse me, I did it for the five. Every one of them, I had a recipe, and I went to a bartender on the island, and I said, you know, tell me what you would make.
Right.
But I went to I did South Beach Shakedown. And again, I can't tell you what the drink was. But, well, South Beach Shakedown, then we had a launch party on South Beach at a club there that was a...
At Mangoes, right?
Great Mangoes. And Mangoes came up. Mangoes made that drink all night for the launch party.
Oh, I'm sure they
people
did.
People were crawling out of there. I mean, it was...
It's a wild place. It's probably the... It has longevity like no other place. I don't know if they're still there. I used to live on South Beach, so I'm familiar with it.
I should have invited you to the party.
You should have, because this was the first book of yours that I read, was South Beach Shakedown, and I liked it very much. It was a lot of fun. And South Beach, you know, has enough interesting characters there. So, know, next time you do a book set down in the Caribbean or something, or in South Beach, I'll come over for the launch party. So, Don, I want to ask you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I want to ask you something. You've had a very interesting professional life, and but now you are still a musician, and you still play. You still go places and perform, and you're still writing your books. Are you doing all the other things that you were doing before? Are you still in advertising?
No, I sold the business 2 years ago. I still do. I still have some clients, and I just, in fact, today I did some voiceover work for a client. But no, I'm not. I sold the agency 2 years ago, and backed off of that end of it, you know, the intensity.
That's good. Well, sure, because you can go down to the islands and do stuff. No. Why would you want to do heavy-duty work when you can go to the islands, for crying out loud?
No, I don't think you heard me. I hate going to the islands. I hate doing the research.
I know. It's a rough life, but somebody has to lead it. You're also a foodie, aren't you? You really enjoy good food.
I do, and I like to cook. And I've never done it. I've never taken lessons, but I have cooked all my life, and I love. I love the experiment. You know, I find that writers as a whole have many creative outlets, more than other people I've met in life. Not that those people aren't wonderful in what they do, but I just find that the creative people, songwriters, musicians, writers. They love to cook. They love to paint. I collect twice gifted artists, and I have for years. And I've got paintings by Tony Bennett. I've got paintings by Jimmy Cagney. I've got paintings by Gary Berghoff and
Wow.
Just any number of people who are creative in other areas, and they love to paint.
Yes.
And you
yes.
can buy cookbooks by the dozen
yes.
from famous people who are creative people, actors, singers, songwriters.
Yes.
Who, so I think
yes.
if you have a creative bend, you know, I'm not an organized person. I'm not an engineer. I can't do science, but I like the creative stuff. So yeah.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. One of the questions I like to ask is, what other creative pursuits do you have? And, I read your website over pretty well. It's a very nice, it's a very tropical feel. I like your website very much. So I guess we have to give you native status sometime soon.
I appreciate that.
So was that true that your accountant told you to write a book and you said, okay, why not? And it should be easy. And so how was the process for you writing your first book when you were writing Jamaica
Blue?
Well,
I had a book going for years and years. And when I decided to write it about Jamaica, then I changed the background of what I had been
mm-hmm.
writing. And long story short, I was at a conference in Arizona. I think it was Left Coast Crime, and I was with a friend, mm-hmm. and we were there, and I was trying to get information on how to get published, and Sue Grafton, who was the guest of honor.
I'm reading her book right now, I'm reading X.
So. X, yeah, two more.
Yeah.
Sue is auctioning off her expertise. This goes back 14, 15 years ago. She said, the money will go to a reader group in
right.
Phoenix or wherever we were. I can't remember exactly. Anyway, the Literacy Council. So I thought, I'm thinking, I've got a lot of years in this book, and so I said, I'll go up to $1,500. I'll buy Sue Grafton's critique. I bought her for $550. You know, all these people said
really?
They had a book, but nobody was going to pony up the money. So she comes up and she says, send me the manuscript. So I got it cleaned up. I sent it to her. And within 2 weeks, I get an 8-page letter. And it started off by saying, have you ever read a book? Do you know what you're doing? Why would you? And it went on. And I got very depressed. And I told a couple of friends. And the day after I got the letter, I get a phone call from my secretary. It's done. Sue Grafton's on the phone. And I'm thinking, one of my friends is, busting my chops. So, I took the call, and it was Sue, and she says, hey, Don, she says, you want to shoot yourself or shoot me? And I said, you don't know me that well. And I think that you were a little bit harsh. I said, and she said, look, she said, I expected to write a page or two and say, hey, you got to clean your characters up. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. And then leave it alone. She said, instead, I found you engaging. You're a hell of a writer, but you made major mistakes. Here they are. Read the letter, clean it up, write me another book. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to write another book. And I said, you know how long that takes? And she said, no, I have no idea. And she said, I got five books. She said, I have five books in dresser drawers. Right now, we'll never see the light of day. And so she said, don't give me that crap. She said, write another book. So 6 months later, I sent her another book. And she called me 2 days after she got it. She said, I read it in one sitting. We're going to sell this. A year later, 6 months later, I think, we're in Washington, D.C. at BoucherCon, which is a major mystery conference. And
right.
She is the guest of honor. And I'm sitting in the audience with 1,500 people, and she does the keynote address. And she says, before I take questions, there's a guy in the audience, Don Bruns, who wrote one hell of a novel. I need somebody to buy this. And I'm just with my mouth hanging open. I walk into the hallway. Charlie Spicer from St. Martin's Press walks up. He said, are you that guy? I said, yeah. He says, do you have the manuscript? I said, yes. I handed it to him. He read it on the train to New York. 2 weeks later, he called me and said, get yourself an agent. We're going to buy your book. So that's how you get published, Pam, okay?
Yeah, was that not the lucky break for you? You take $580 and you buy the critique from a famous author. Good on you. I love stories like that. I love stories.
It was amazing.
Like that.
And when people say, well, tell me how I get published. And I tell them that story. And then I say, have Sue Grafton, critique
right?
your manuscript and then sell it for you. And that's what it
there
works.
There you go. That's how you do it.
And 14 books later, we're still putting them out.
I love it. I want you, we talked a little bit before the show started about a new series that you're starting. Will you start from the beginning and tell listeners what you said to me about getting a phone call from this British company?
I'm not sure what I was.
They contacted you.
I have 111,000 Twitter followers.
Uh-huh.
And I work it to get that number. And I always think it's going to sell books, and it does. I mean, I get comments from people. But anyway, I get a note on the Twitter thing from a company in Great Britain, Kate Lyle from Severn House. And she says, I've noticed, excuse me, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm studying you, and I noticed you haven't had a book out in a couple of years. And she said, do you have anything I could see? Well, it turns out that I have, with my agent, a book about a Detroit cop who moves down to New Orleans. He's kind of forced out of Detroit, and he's a homicide cop, and he ends up hooking up with a voodoo queen, a young, attractive girl who's a voodoo practitioner, and they solve a murder together. And I had the book finished, and I loved it. And so I wrote my agent, and I called my agent and said, send it to the Severn House. So she did. And a week later, we love it. We want to do this. So I wrote her and I said, no publisher ever has written me before and said, could we please buy one of your books? You know, I don't think that happens to too many authors. And she said, you followed me on Twitter, and I was intrigued immediately. So I think social networking actually works really well. I mean, I got a publisher, and I've got a free book deal. So I was pretty excited about that.
Congratulations. It sounds like fun, but you're on a short time frame with this book deal now, aren't you?
Well, they bought it, and immediately they're going to put it out in June in England and Wales and Australia and Ireland. And then in September, it comes out. It's called Casting Bones, which is a voodoo practice where they take small parts of animal bones and they throw them like dice on a canvas mat,
right,
and however it comes out. But, I'm thrilled. I mean, I'm excited as heck. I mean, this is it's a whole new venture, and it's a much edgier story than some of the stuff I've been working on. And so, and I have to go to New Orleans and do the research. Yeah, I hate that, you know.
Yeah, of course you do. You have to, while you're at BoucherCon, you can be down there. You just have to go early. And I'll keep my eye out for you.
Are you going to be at BoucherCon?
Yeah, I was there last year, too.
I know, we're going to do the launch party in New Orleans.
Okay, great. Then I expect my invitation.
Heather Graham is helping me set it up. We're going to do a launch party.
Well, there you go. See, nobody knows it better than Heather Graham and Tony McGee Coffee, who lives there. So so that's great. That's fun.
And Tony goes right in the quarter. Yeah.
She does. She lives a block over from Bourbon Street. So,
right,
yeah, she's
right.
Terrific. Yeah, yeah. How fun. Now, will this series be come to the States at all?
Yes, it comes in September. It's released in June in England, and then September they were released over here. Yeah, they're huge over here, but it's just a matter of for some reason they have a delay on the release. So.
Well, they want to release in the UK. I understand that if they're a UK company. Good for them.
Yeah.
Will they change the title? Because oftentimes my friends who live in the UK and also sell their books in both over there and here oftentimes have different titles for the books when they come out. Not always, but sometimes. Do you know if the title will remain the same once it comes to the States?
It's the same because I've already seen the cover. Both and the cover will remain the same. Yeah, so it's good.
Wonderful.
Well, I got to tell you, we got the cover. The front cover is one of the lines from Lee Child's blurb, and it says, "If you like the crime genre, this is not just recommended; it's mandatory reading." I thought that was nice of Lee to say.
he's such a nice man, isn't he?
He's
so soft-spoken and so nice. And Jeff Deaver, too, whom I love.
Jeff Deaver did a line, the last line on his is, I have never read a book that does a better description in noir of New Orleans. So I thought they were good.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. Now, you're still playing your guitar out and about town, aren't you?
I am. I just finished doing three Friday nights at a club here in Sarasota. And, I still love to do club dates, and I still take the guitar when I do book signings, and I sing funny songs and little poignant things about the islands and stuff. So, yeah.
Will you be singing at Thriller Fest this year?
Maybe in my room. If you want to come up, I'll do a little private. I can do that for you.
Well, because, it used to be that Daniel Palmer and his father, when he was still alive, the late Dr. Michael Palmer and Brad Palmer.
I played with them, sure.
Right, have always done a little ditty for awards night, and they're always a big hit. So I just saw Daniel a couple of weeks ago, and he said it's just him and Brad this time, and I thought, well, geez, you should get up there and sing with them too, because it's always so much fun to hear what they come up with, you know. And
isn't Daniel one of the neatest people in the world?
He just is like a kid in a candy store. He really is.
He is. You're right.
He writes.
He's the sweetest guy. Yeah, I like him.
I just read his newest book because I'm a power reader in NetGalley. And so I just finished his newest thriller. And I'll tell you what, it's so hard for me to reconcile that Daniel, the big kid, wrote this horrifying, chilling, bone-rattling thriller, there was a bunch of us there. I knew a bunch of people, and there were a bunch of authors there, obviously, that I knew too, because I interviewed so many. But he said, oh, Pam, let me show you the picture of my son during his ski contest, whatever it was. And he whips out his phone. There's a long line of people waiting for him. Whips out his phone, and he's got to show me the pictures of his son. He doesn't have a picture of his daughter,
Oh, he's such a family guy. He's such a family guy.
He is. Yeah. He is such a hoot, And he just says, I have never seen Daniel Palmer not laughing of all the times I've seen him. He's a terrific guy.
An author named Robert Kobe?
I'm sorry, what's the last name?
Have you ever met Robert Pobey, P-O-B-I?
No, I have not.
He's the sweetest guy. He wrote a book called Blood Man, which is one of the gruesome. I mean, I really do think, you don't ever take an author at his personality, because they're usually very nice people, and they usually are writing the stuff that will just chill you. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, well, we have a show in this network called Noir on the Radio, and so those are some pretty tough stories when you're reading noir crime fiction. And we have one particular segment called Dames in the Dark, so it's all the noir broads, all the dames who are in there writing this heavy duty crime fiction too, and some of their stuff is just as hair raising as any of the guys' stuff, probably more so. It's really amazing. We also have a horror show, so if it's blood and guts, it goes to them, because I can't do blood and guts too much. I'm just not built for those kind of books.
Sure.
I read, I love your books. I love the style of your writing.
Thank you.
To me, it's ever so much more fun because I'm familiar with the locations. When they film Burn Notice down there, they'd be on my street sometimes filming. So you just get used to that. But
that's one reason I picked the New Orleans thing, because I have loved New Orleans for years. It's a very dangerous town. It's a very scary town. The Tourism Bureau does a good job of covering up what the deep dark secrets of that time in the politics and the it's just a very dark, a lot of political history in that town, and it is so much fun. I'm in the second book now. I said I have to turn it in by August. And the stuff that I'm writing about is so easy to research, because all you got to do is Google New Orleans, and 10 million horror stories show up.
Sure.
So it's been fun. And of course, bordering on the Mississippi and then being in the bayou, and you've got so much of that no other town really in the United States has the kind of history and the kind of darkness that city has.
It's really true. There is some. It will be my debut visit, so I'm really looking forward to it.
I was talking to Jim Hall, James Hall, number of years ago, and he'd written a book in the jungles of Borneo or something. I mean, I don't know where it was, but it was just terrible. It was mosquitoes, and it was and when he was done telling the story, he just looked at the audience and he said, "What the hell was I thinking? I live in Florida. I can write about the wonderful, you know, why would I go in a place that I hated?" So I decided right then I was going to write books about places I wanted to visit and have fun in. So.
And where he lives. I mean, he goes back and forth from, you know, Isla Morada or one of the Keys up to North Carolina and back. And he and I laugh all the time whenever I see him because he's a dear friend. I love him. I love that man so much.
Yeah. I just saw him the other day. We're doing a 100th birthday for John D. McDonald here in Sarasota. He'll be,
are you really?
He was alive in July 24th. He would be 100 years old. And so we have been doing in the paper here. And I've been in charge of this. We have every single Sunday for 30 weeks, we're doing a John D. and Me essay from an author. And James did it, King did it, Dennis Lehane did it, Carl Hyacin did it. And
so
we've got
all
these authors.
People, so I get it. You're talking all these
people. But James was gracious enough to come here and do a talk at the library about, you know, his take on John D. McDonald. So it was kind of fun.
Oh, he's an amazing man. But, you know, his books, when he sets them starting off in the Keys with his Thorn character, you know, it's every bit as harrowing. You're right. He didn't have to go to Borneo or wherever it was.
No.
You can go to the Everglades and get eaten by mosquitoes or, you know, go to Miami and get eaten by another person if you had to. You know, you're not going to go far for weird and bizarre stories. I don't know if you saw the trending feed in Facebook today. They caught a 15-foot, 800-pound alligator.
Picture is phenomenal. They got it up on the tractor.
On the tractor, right. And, you know, those are not your everyday alligators.
It was eating some guy's cattle. Eating the cattle from his farm.
I know. And I'm thinking, yeah, usually they go after the chickens and the small animals along the – you find them in people's backyards and everything. Mm-hmm. But the size of that thing was amazing, wasn't it?
Oh, jeez. I thought it was Photoshopped, obviously. If you're listening, right, get online, Google 15-foot alligator in Florida and look at this.
Truly.
It is, and it looks like it's got a cow in its belly. I mean,
it does look like it.
Extended stomach. Yeah, so.
It's really funny. Don, I'm so glad you came to visit with me tonight on the radio. If you're having any events up in Sarasota for John D., 30 Days of John D., let me know. I'd love to drive up. It's only an hour and a half away, and I've got a bunch of friends
up there,
too.
The birthday is going to be on the 24th. We're having right outside. There's a park outside the main library in Sarasota, and if you do nothing else, come for that. There's going to be cake, ice cream, the whole festive occasion. It's on the day before his birthday, actually.
All right. So, I'd love to. As a matter of fact, Libby Fisher-Hellman is going to be here later on this. I don't even know what month I'm in anymore. I swear to God, I need a keeper, Don.
We are in April at the moment.
Yeah, we're in April. I'm going to tell you when she's going to be here. She's coming down to do a Florida tour. She'll be on Boca Grande. So we're going to be in your neck of the woods. She's coming. She'll be here on the 16th of April. And then we're going out to Sanibel. There's a great bookstore out there.
That's a fabulous store.
McIntosh.
And the owner is a cute little blonde. I love her. Yeah, so anyway.
The McIntosh
Not because she's
books,
a cute little blonde. She's just is nice.
They're very sweet. They're very great over there. Jenny Milchman goes there every year. That's how I get my Jenny fill when I see her over there.
Libby and I did a California tour together. And you'll have to ask her about that. Because we actually went and saw. Do you know Bill Moody?
Yes.
Bill writes jazz mysteries, and I don't think he's had anything out in a while. But Bill was playing here, and he said, "You guys got to come see my band." And he's got great. He had a great jazz band, and it turns out it's a Sunday night in a Jewish deli with three people. And Libby and I made five. We had a great night.
Oh, that's
night.
Hysterical! She's gonna love to hear that.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
I'll send you the dates when she's in town and when we're at Boca Grande and come on down and grab a cocktail with us or something, okay?
Yeah, how much fun would that be? Sure, I love Libby.
Right? Okay, yeah.
She's
a host in my network, in the same network I'm in. She has a program called Second Sunday Crime. with Louisa Sherholman. So you're going to have to, I'm going to have to send you all this information. My guest tonight is the very prolific, very fun, very talented Don Bruns, who is starting a new series set in New Orleans and a little bit darker than the books that he's has out now, the Caribbean series and the Stuff series, which we didn't even get a chance to talk about because those are two fun guys too, the best friends who have quite an adventure no matter where they go. I mean, they start off as I think moving truck guys, right? or something. It was a lot of fun reading those books.
You're amazing.
Too.
You know, I mean, you know, you've hit everything. Skip and James, two best friends, 24-year-old guys who decide to form a private detective agency, and they have no idea what they're doing, and they pretty much screw everything up, but they end up actually solving good crimes. And, I think Susan Reif, who with the Herald Tribune in Sarasota, said it best. She said, grown-up Hardy Boys. So that's kind of
They really are. And it's always some little different interesting caper that they're involved in, and you just think, oh, you know, they rode away for a private investigator's course or something, but somehow they've managed to solve these things. So it's a lot of fun reading those books. Thank you very much for so much enjoyment with your books. And do come back again. Maybe you'll take – I'd like to hear you behind the microphone and interview some of your friends, and we can set that up and make it happen. How's that?
You know, I've got some good friends, especially Florida writers that I don't think probably get enough credit. So I think that, that'd be fun to do. So
anytime you want to do a Florida panel and invite them all and you interview, I'll give you a whole week's worth of studio time and let's do that. We'll talk about
okay,
it.
I'm free tomorrow. So, you know, that's,
I'll give you a ring up tomorrow then and we'll talk about it.
Tomorrow, no,
Friday,
I was going to say, I can start the show tomorrow.
You can start tomorrow. Oh, geez. Oh, God. Tomorrow the studios are all booked.
Oh, it's okay.
I can give you a Saturday, but, you know, I don't want to work 7 days a week. We'll work something out, Don.
Thank
Friday,
you. You've
I'm
been very
be
charming. I appreciate
Thank
the interview
you.
Very much.
Don't go away. I'm going to be speaking to James Anderson, his new book. It's his debut novel, and it's fabulous. The Never Open Desert Diner. It is... It's just an amazing character study and really a wonderful noir book. He's joining me on Friday. And then next week, our friend Libby Fisher-Hellman is here. We do. We have Steve Landau and Alex Segura, two of the best noir writers on the block, and Will Zaharo, another noir writer. It's going to be a fun month for me. Don, I look forward to seeing you, and thank you so much for being with me tonight.
No, thank you.
And have a good night. I'm going to hear that guitar play real soon, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks. Good night. Have a nice night.
Good night.
And that's our show for tonight, folks. Thanks for being with me. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.